Good morning, all. Can I get an amen that God is beautiful? Yeah. Thank you, Robin and team. And those who've shared. Could you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 119 as we consider and continue our series on God conversations? We're going to go back and look at one verse only from Psalm 119. A few weeks ago I dealt with 17 to 24, but I want to specifically focus today on verse 18. As we've been reflecting in song this morning and through communion, the awe and wonder of our glorious God and what that looks like for us and what it takes for us to understand how majestic, how beautiful, how lovely, and just how awesome He is. I often hear things these days, and my sister-in-law, she won't listen to the tape, so that'll be good. But she often says when we say things, oh, that's awesome. No, there's only one that's awesome, and that's God. Well, I agree with her, but you can't let her get away with that, so we just smile and nod and move on. But He is the one that's altogether awesome, altogether lovely, and altogether wonderful. So let's just look at Psalm 119. And we'll start again from verse 17 and just read that passage, but focus on 18. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with the longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight, and they are my counselors. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your loving kindness, for your word. We thank you, Father, that it enlightens our life and gives us what we need to know about your character. So we thank you, Father, for this passage and all of your Bible that helps us live a life worthy of the calling that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have many needs in life. We have been through an interesting period in our church with people's family members dying and people being sick and mourning and tragedy, but we delight in God at the same time. We delight what He's doing. You may have real needs in your life right now. Life might be pressing in on you. You might be needing that illumination of God in your life right now. You can see many things in God's Word. You can see them without even opening up your heart and your mind to them. You can open up the pages and you can see grammatical constructions, logical connections, historical information, relationships and emotion. They're obvious because you can look and you can see. But you see, the heart of this passage we're talking about, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You look at that and you think, well, this is the law he's talking about, but the real inference is, open my eyes that I might see how awesome and how wonderful and how beautiful you are, Lord. What are you teaching me about yourself and how that I may live in the light of your magnificence? You see, we need to see God and his Son and the Holy Spirit for their work, that it is wonderful, that it is majestic and it is beautiful. We need to see it in a way that goes beyond our capacity to read the text as we pray and we seek and we read and pray through those words. We need to have a full appreciation of what's actually going on in this world and our lives in this world. You see, a blind person who's been restricted in their sight, and a sad thing that is, can get this idea of the senses. You know, they can smell and they can touch. You know, they can read in Braille. But you see, they don't realize the full magnificence in seeing what we see. But they can get a deep appreciation of trying to understand and grapple with those things. A blind person can feel the sun on their cheek as they arise in the morning. But they can't see the sun. I'm not suggesting look at the sun. But they can't see the sun. They can't see the power that the sun produces because God has placed it in the sky. They can't see the flowers that bloom and grow. They can't see the trees as they rise to the sky. It's like knowing that ice cream is sweet, but tasting it is a whole different thing, especially when you can't eat anything. Ephesians 14, 17 and 18, Paul mentions five traits in the human condition that requires this divine intervention that the psalmist is requiring here to see the true spiritual beauty. And the reality, I don't think that's the passage, but that's okay. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. You know, if you read backwards, we can say that all of those elements, part of them are in us. And that's why Jesus had to come and die. Apart from the grace of God, we are hard. We are ignorant. We are alienated from God. And we are left in a dark world. And the futility of trying to understand with our own knowledge and our own understanding of what's going on. So why does the psalmist pray for his eyes to be open so that he may gain a deeper appreciation of God's character and his majesty? So therefore we need to pray, open my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord, to your beauty. Do we do that? Is there an authentic and intense attempt to love him by reaching out to him, by calling on his name and appreciating him for who he is? You see, we need divine help. The world is crashing in on around us. We need his divine help. You see, seeing his life in us will change us. It won't become an abstract idea, an academic exercise. It becomes a beautiful picture of our life. Why is this important? You might be sitting there asking yourself now, what does it really matter? Because you were called the moment you said, if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here today, you were called to be conformed into the image of his Son. Not into the image of anyone else, but to his Son. That's what you're called to do. You're called to be the image of his Son. His beautiful, worthy, altogether lovely, excellent Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Yeah, I sat there with Morris the night before, well, not the night, the same day that he died. And I looked on a frail man, mouth open, skin and bone. What glory is in this, Lord? You see, the glory is in where he's going and who he's going to see. And Bruce expressed that beautifully this morning. You see, that's the glory. That's the beauty. And as I said last Sunday, for some unknown reason, this man is suffering, but we are able to minister to those around him who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and reveal him through his word and through our prayers. You see, it's his glory. Morris lived a life for his glory. For God's glory. And even in his death, God was being glorified. Is that what you want for your life? Oh no, not to die like that. But is that what you want in your life? So that people might see God's glory in you. Open my eyes. We desire to be changed. We desire to acknowledge the superior beauty that awaits for us from this veiled flesh, this fading veiled flesh that we have. And when I'm sure that we look into the face of Christ, there is no comparison at all to be made with what you and I see right now, even though God has given it to us. Don't be lured by the latest fitness magazines. I'm certainly not. Don't be lured by the latest Home and Garden magazine. Sorry, Richard and Eloise. Robin does the gardening at home, yeah, clearly. Don't be lured by the latest fashion magazine. Don't be lured by the latest car magazine, the latest techno gizmos that gives you so much more power that you have in your computer so you can sit there all day and play with it while other people around you and you ignore them. But open up the beautiful pages in this book, which you can read on your gadgets and gizmos. It is beautiful. I cry out, open my eyes to see the wonderful, wonderful things out of your word, Lord. Are you opening up the word of God and seeing the wonderful things that are in his word? You see, God is more glorious. He's more compelling than any lure that this world has for you. 3 John 11 says, the one who does evil has not seen God. You see, there are people who are bent on doing things against God's standards. They have no comprehension like you should have comprehension on who God is. You need to stand in awe of him. You see, true life change as you read and you pray has spiritual value to your lives. And God has revealed himself through his word. It is how you understand his character. You need to look into it, meditate on it, dive into it, grapple with it, pray through it. Seek God's face through it. Understand who you are in the bigger picture of what God has called you to be. You see, pondering, memorizing, grappling, and understanding will lead you to understand your position on this earth and where you're going. There can be no peace outside of this body in death if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I hear people who have gone to the grave, who have not known Jesus, and what happens around us is we say things like, they're at peace now. I'm sorry, they're not at peace now. The peace only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled by saying some trite little things to people. Understand the true nature of what they're going to. And open up the word of God and say, this is what God reveals about himself and about you. Do you want to know who he is? That is the word of God. That is understanding your call in your life. You see, the word of God also brings clarity to that prayer life we've been talking about. Suppose you hear today that we must see the glory of God to be changed, which is what we've said. But you can't see it because you're a little bit hard and a little bit blind and you're suffering and you don't want to acknowledge God. Suppose you take away from this message that we must therefore pray for God to make alive and soften our hearts and open our eyes. And suppose you conclude I must devote myself to prayer alone and not to study or reading. Or memorizing the Bible because we're mere human seeing and reasoning can't see what needs to be seen. That would be a sad conclusion. That would be the wrong conclusion. You see, they go interlinked. Open my eyes so I am not blind, so I can see your glory, Lord, is in the Word of God. And we pray to the Father so the Spirit might illuminate what we are reading. Let me say it another way. God has ordained that the eye-opening work of His Spirit always will be combined with the mind-informing work of His Word. That is the way we see God. And that is the way we see God alone to be changed. The work of the Spirit and the work of the Word always go together. That's the true spiritual revelation that we seek. Not just some random thing that we call upon the Lord to say, open my eyes that I may see this, without picking up the annals of the pages contain His Word, His beautiful Word. Don't think we need new information to shape our lives. We don't need any more information. We have it here in the text of Scripture. We've got everything that we need. Everything that we need to know about Him. Open that my eyes that I may see the wonderful things out of your word, he says. Don't pray and drift. Don't put your mind into neutral. Don't get into some hippie pose, meditating on stuff, emptying your mind. Any time I've known that if someone's emptied their mind, they've filled it. Sit down, Bill. They've filled it with rubbish. That's the reality. If you open your mind to stuff, it will get there. Don't open your mind to anything. Eastern mysticism. Stella and I were at the mall last week. And a girl comes up lurking in the darkness. And she was. She was lurking in the darkness. Not out in the light. I don't even know if she was supposed to be there. She had a bag with her and come up to Stella and I and said, you look really peaceful. We were shopping. Sorry? No, Stella doesn't buy anything, Richard. Behave. And we hadn't bought anything. We just walked in. We were heading for some lunch. And Stella, first thing that popped out of Stella's mouth was, that's because of Jesus Christ. I was only interested in lunch. True story. Bad pastor. And she asked me what I asked her some questions. She said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. She went, oh, which part? That sort of... We're peaceful because of Jesus. Do you feel His peace? If you don't, why? This is not an exercise in spirituality, Eastern mysticism, some Gnostic idea. This is the reality of seeing Jesus for who He is. We can go into mental drift. Mental drift leads to all sorts of places. Andrew shared last week. If you stand, if you walk, stand and sit with people who will lead you astray, you will get led astray. Trust me. It will happen. Guarantee you. And then you'll come back in a couple of years and you'll come into my office and you'll say, I don't know what happened. Let me open up the Word of God and tell you what He says about it. Sounds like it's happened before, right? And it has. Don't be fooled for 1 minute that you can remain strong in that company. Without the balance, they become evangelism. Seek God's face. Don't empty your minds. So what does it look like then? We've talked about a lot of theory. So let's go through some areas here that might help us. Number one, pray and read. Read the Word. And it's a privilege to read God's Word. It's not an imposition, it's a privilege. And it's an obligation. And it's the way that we see God for who He is. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, my revelation there was made known to me, the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Read your Bible. When you read, God willed the greatest mysteries of life be revealed through his reading. Through his words, not through your own. Not what you think about life. It's what God conveys about life. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what the hope of his calling is. You see, it's a mystery in chapter 1:18 of Ephesians just there. We need to know that God opens our eyes in answer to prayer. Ah, yes, we pray. And we're blind without God's help. But we must read. The second point, we are to pray and study. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent. Or in King James Version, it says study instead of diligent. To present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Accurately handling the word of God. Do it accurately. Not what this guy and that guy says. But take it and tear it apart. You know, God gave us this book about himself so that we might read it. Not in any careless way that we might think we should. Open it up, pluck a verse out, that's how I live my life today. It is a timeless, beautiful book. We've been going through some stuff at home and junking some things. And I've got a pile of books. In fact, about three piles of books. And I'm sure the Salvation Army will love them. But you know, I reckon if I've read those books once, I've just collected them. No value, information. Great for, what's that game we play, Carla? Trivial Pursuit. Great for Trivial Pursuit, so that I can win. No value, really. No value at all. Be diligent and accurately handle the word of truth. Work hard. Want it. Desire it. Love it. You know, the pendulum swings backwards and forwards when it comes to these things. Some say pray and pray and don't lean on unspiritual human work of study over spiritualization. Others say study and study because God is not going to tell you the meaning of the word through prayers. But that is a false dichotomy. As you read and pray, God opens your eyes. Have you ever read something before and you've read it again and you've read it again and you pick it up at another time and you've opened up the Bible and says, I never saw that before. Have you ever done that? What is happening? God is revealing himself to you. Pray and dig for gold, number three. Stella and I were away. We went to Arrowtown. Anyone been to Arrowtown? Beautiful place. Beautiful place. We were there at the right time, all the colours. And we went for a wander down through the old gold digs where the Chinese miners came from. And you know, a lot of those guys came after the gold rush in Australia finished and they landed here. The effort they went and the abuse they copped to find a treasure was remarkable. The little huts they lived in. You know, although in New Zealand at the moment, you'd still probably get $500,000 for one of those huts. But the little huts, the brick and the old tin and on the side of a hill and the, you know, the snow would come down, they would dig for treasure and dig and dig and dig because their life depended on it to sustain their life. And there wasn't a lot there, but they would dig and dig and dig. They would forsake anything else to find that treasure. Will you forsake your time to find the treasure that is written in Scripture? Do you give full attention that this is the gold and the diamonds that you so desire because it speaks of the one that's altogether lovely and altogether beautiful? How are you digging? Proverbs 2:1-6 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So to receive the treasure, you need to be attentive. Incline your heart, cry out, lift your voice, seek after gold, the pure gold that God gives us. Search for that hidden treasure. The digging in the Bible is worth it. There you find his treasures and the way that you should live. And by all means pray. And don't substitute prayer for just digging. And then we need to pray and think, number four. 2 Timothy 2:7 says in the NASB, says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think about what I say. Does it mean that it's simply a human event? No, it's a God-given event. The Lord will give you understanding. Spiritual apprehension is a gift of God, and a gift of God alone. By all means, pray and ask to God to give you light, all the light you need. But don't only replace thinking with praying. And don't only pray and not think. You got to think. Problem is, we don't think enough about what's going on in the world. We follow the crowd. God has set it up this way. An historical Christ, a book of redemption and revelation. And then pray and speak. God gives us the written word. He is conveying to us the words from people who inspired to write without error, so that we might convey the truth that he has in this book to other people who are faltering. We might convey the truth in this book to brothers and sisters who need to know a better way to live. We need to convey the truth in this book so we might build up and encourage one another in the life that lay ahead of us. We may build up in this book the people who are going to die and be with Jesus, that's all of us, so they might die well. That is what's going on. You see, the problem is we don't feel vulnerable enough sometimes and lead ourselves to calling out for God. We think everything's okay, we've got it all under control. No one can touch us. But I do know people that have lost their jobs very quickly. I do know people that have died before what we would say is their time. And I do know people who are suffering with health issues. How you cope with those things is very important. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you or among you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You see, I preach to herald the word of God, and everyone else that comes up here does. We have small groups, and we come together to herald the word of God, to build each other up. But you see, we need to pray. We need to read. We need to strengthen ourselves. We don't do it with persuasive arguments. We do it with God's arguments. And we convey that to the people around us who not know what they're doing and are far away from God. Colossians 1, 9 and 10 reflects this area of praying. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Listen to this bit. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Not for trivial pursuit. Increasing in the knowledge of God. If knowing God and having spiritual wisdom and understanding were automatic, why would Paul need to pray? He is one of the ones that saw the shining Saviour. He is the one who had direct revelation. Why did he need to pray if it wasn't important? Because he leant on the Lord. He needed that spiritual, divine intervention in his life as he went and proclaimed the goodness of himself that is being God to others. So we have seen over and over and over repetitive repetitive for a reason, that we get it into our heads and our hearts and everything else about us. We need to have the indispensable word of God for his glory, and we need to pray for that illumination. It is so necessary for us to live. It is so now necessary for us to stand firm. The question is how you stand. When Morris died, I was sad. Because my mate had gone. I was sad. But when I saw him in that hospital, according to your word, Lord, you have a better place for him to be. My prayer is that you take him home. That was a hard prayer. Please take him home. Take him home to be with you. And I said that with all clear conscience. And when he died, I was thankful. I texted the elders that night at 10:15 and said, Morris has gone to be with Jesus, our Savior. And I think it was Alistair that said something along the lines, great day. Not quite, but paraphrased. He's right. Read, study, dig, think, speak, listen, and pray. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wonderful things out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.